We're talking with Pippa Badalati, who did a forum on the Green Way for the Green Party in Europe. She's been a leader of the Wales Green Party. It's also quite active in the climate movement, been involved with the Extinction Rebellion. So Pippa, what exactly is the Green Wave?
Well, the Green Wave was a wonderful thing that took place during the European elections earlier this year, 2019, where the Green Party gained huge amounts of votes, increased their presence at the European Parliament by more than 20 seats. That was pretty excellent show of strength for the Greens and a very interesting outcome. It means that the news of climate change and the trouble it's going to cause humanity and other species is finally getting out.
One of the points you made in your presentation, one of the reasons why the Green Party, in addition to their advocacy on climate, they've been around enough that they're now looking like the adults in the room to the other political parties when it comes to voters.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've been telling a solid and consistent message for 30 or 40 years in some cases. We are exonerated in as much as the science which we have always followed and we've always spoken to and made policy to. The science is now out there and being communicated to people, and our solidity in dealing with these matters is now making us look like the grown-ups in the room. Whereas the right and the far right are splintered, fractured, fighting, and definitely looking as if they are children.
You also mentioned that the longtime support and advocacy and practice of sustainability among the Green Party seems to really resonate with the voters. Is that a combination of both policy, but also that more and more individuals in Europe are trying to actually practice in sustainability in their own lifestyles?
I think it's more a question of fright. There is a whole generation of people growing up who are genuinely worried. We have situations which have been reported to me where young people have asked their parents to vote green. We are in an existential crisis. It's unfolding before our eyes, if we could just open them and see, and if our media would just tell us the truth so that we could see for ourselves and make our own decisions, we would be able to be in a much stronger position as a Green Party. Certainly in the US, where the media are not telling us the truth, and many of our politicians are not telling us the truth either, we have to work extra hard to ensure that the message is clear and that the parties who are only proclaiming business as usual, economic growth as a means of future survival, are completely wrong and are going in completely the wrong direction. Their pollution, their extraction, their practices, their politics of inequality and growing inequality have got to be consigned to the dustbin. We have to start moving on and looking at the kind of policies that will take us forward into a changing, quickly changing world of environmental collapse and species collapse.
Now, you actually did seem to indicate that the media, at least in Europe, United Kingdom, have been paying a little bit more attention to the Greens. Recently, you did discuss the problems with the corporate ownership of media here in the United States, but you also made the point, or other people made the point, that you know, even when you look at the weather, the extreme weather and European weather reports do talk about climate change, but seldom that point seems to get made on, you know, local weather reports here in the United States.
Yeah, well, the Tory story was told that the local weatherman was unable to use the words climate change for fear of losing his job, and that is outrageous. We can feel climate change happening all around us. We know that there are less bugs in the air. We know there are less birds. We know wildlife is diminishing. And as we watch the disasters of climate change-induced fires across California, we are watching currently today fires in Australia, we're watching glaciers melt. As of this week, every glacier on the planet is now in melt. We know that there is a severe problem, and the media have simply got to wake up, because, you know, we are going to be in a situation soon where people will not be able to insure their houses or sell them. And these people, all of them, need to know the truth as soon as possible. And the media have to forget their duties to corporatedom and start thinking about their duties to the people for whom they depend on for a living.
Now, in recent years, the National Green Party has begun to evolve, and they now are more openly an anti-capitalist party and much more advocate and clearly support for eco-socialism. Has that support for eco-socialism become more prevalent among the Greens in Europe, because you already have socialist parties in many of the European countries?
Yes, indeed. This is true. I'm a proud eco-socialist, and we have to be very clear that socialism itself is not going to solve the problems. It will solve perceived old problems, some of them anyway, but it is not going to solve the environmental crisis that's before us. Only eco-socialism taken seriously and enacted seriously and well is going to help solve the problem and prepare us for the forthcoming crisis.
Now, one of the big issues initially, particularly with the German Green Party, was the issue of nuclear power, both nuclear weapons, but probably even more notably in nuclear power plants. That's been a hotly debated issue among climate activists, at least in the United States, about, well, they will argue that nuclear power is a little bit more carbon-free, especially when they're already built. How has nuclear power been dealt with recently in terms of Europe and the European Greens?
We're completely against it. It might be painted as low carbon, but there is no remedy for the waste product. The seriousness of this cannot be overestimated. The waste product of nuclear, the radioactive materials, it will stay radioactive for hundreds of thousands of years. This has got to be taken into consideration, and anyone who argues in favor of nuclear is forgetting that there is no solution for the waste product. And why would you create a problem just to make energy, which can be made by many other means? Why would you create the problem of a waste product so toxic that it's going to take hundreds of thousands of millions of years for the worst of it to become safe? It is an outrageous thought. Nuclear power was only brought to us because of the nuclear weapons industry. It is a cloaking organization. We want nuclear bombs, we have nuclear power. They are put together, but we don't need either of them.
We've been talking with Pippa Badalati. Among other things, she's also an author and has joined recently in the new genre of science fiction based on climate, Barbarian. I understand people are feeling a little bit concerned that your science fiction book is becoming a little bit too real.
Yeah, I'm not particularly proud of that, to be honest, but when I constructed this book, I took the science available at the time of writing and some of the projective science, for example, the viruses that may be frozen in the permafrost in the Arctic Circle, hatching out viruses for which we may have no remedy. And I took these things, all this information was available and discussed in scientific circles. I put them into the book, and now I'm starting to see more and more articles about this. The extreme weather, the hurricanes, and so on, they are in my book. And the hurricanes are getting worse, and I'm sorry to say that this was one of the pivotal incidents in the book that brought on the collapse of society as we know it. And people, scientists, in fact, are saying, this is looking too good, Pippa. It's looking too real.
So that's Barbarian by Pippa Badalati, and she was speaking about the Green Wave, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.